Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word this evening is our gospel lesson, one of our gospel lessons, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith on this Good Friday, Psalm 17, as for me, I shall behold thy face, O Lord, in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. Nothing in this world is going to satisfy you. That's a lesson you have to learn sooner or later. Nothing is going to satisfy you. Nothing is going to fill you up, not permanently, not for the long term. And that's for sure. And yet, during this Lenten season, we have been looking at and seeing in our Lord Jesus' Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed, Beatus Latin, which means blessed, the Beatitudes, we've seen the Lord saying to his people over and over again, blessed are you. And so tonight, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when other people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And that's not the only place where our Lord Jesus spoke like that. He also did in the Gospel of St. John, John chapter 15. And this is what he said. He said to his disciples, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember now the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. And I quote, they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. In a fallen world, we often struggle to find reasons for things. And it's almost impossible to function unless we can take all the pieces that we're confronted with in life and we're able to take them and put them together like puzzle pieces so something makes sense, so we can see a picture, so we can see the outline of it, how it holds together. If you can't do that, if all the pieces of your life are just scattered all over the dining room table, it's difficult. You need to make sense of things. Things need to make sense. Now, our Lord Jesus never said to us that the Christian way was easy. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation. And if you think about everything that the Bible says, you realize, well, that makes sense. Our Lord Jesus also said, take up your cross and follow me. And it's difficult, but it makes sense. Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first. And that also makes sense. But there's one thing that is difficult, and it's hard, and doesn't make sense, and that is, they hated me without a cause. No reason for it. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. What sense do you make out of what Judson read for you just a moment ago? Book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Actually, how does it begin? It says, who has believed what he heard from us? It doesn't make sense. And then it goes on from there to say, he, and that's our Lord Jesus, prophecy about him, he was despised. He was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Now the words there, terrible words, but the words there do make sense. But there's something that doesn't make sense, because here you've got someone prophesied about and then of course coming as our Lord Jesus. You have someone who did all these things for you and me, who suffered in that way for you and me, who died for you and me, who took away our sins, who went to the cross. And after doing all of that, what happens? He is despised by the people. It's almost like the old saying, how does it go? No good deed what? Goes unpunished. And it seems to be sort of the poster for that. They hated me without cause. He's rejected by the people, despised by the people. And there you got Good Friday. That's what happened. We'll sing about it in our closing hymn tonight. We'll sing these words, why? Why? What has my Lord done? What makes this rage and spite? He made the lame to run. He gave the blind their sight. And for his death, they thirst and cry. They hated me without cause. Didn't make any sense back then. Doesn't make any sense today. It doesn't make any sense today either when we see hatred directed toward our Christian faith. What sort of hate? Love your neighbor as yourself. Care for others. God has forgiven you. God's washed you clean. Jesus shed blood makes you clean. God has eternal life. He's got a place prepared for you. What sort of hate there? It doesn't make any sense when you see animosity directed toward you when people find out you are a Christian person. It doesn't make any sense when you see a loved one who year after year is indifferent to the Lord, and you know they need to be saved. They need the Lord Jesus, and sometimes it seems like they come close. Things get really bad for them. They're almost on their knees before the Lord, and then they just sort of recover and move on. It never seems to take root. Doesn't make any sense. Why? Why do they act like this? Why are they so hostile? Why can't they see? And yet, is that really the question? Why? Is that really what you want to know? Is it just an intellectual question to get an intellectual answer? And when I get the intellectual answer, then I'll be satisfied and everything will be fine. If you read your Bible, you'll notice the Bible doesn't answer a lot of why questions. Because what's the point? So you got your wonderful answer. Will that solve everything for you? Does that make you able to move on? Why? No. Our Lord Jesus put it simply. He says, when it comes to folks who are hostile to Christ, who don't know Christ, it's because they don't know the one who sent me. They don't know the true God. And that's God's word. God's word is strange in a way to us because it doesn't answer the question why. It just says, this is the way this is, and this is the way that is. It simply describes how things are. And what it says is, some people have been born from above, have been born again, to use the Bible language. They have the Holy Spirit. They've been given a new heart that fights against the old ways. They have a faith and trust in the pardon and cleansing of Jesus' cross. They've begun to know that even the worst crosses bring about a good fruit for your life. They've come to know that even the worst crosses that you have to carry are more than compensated for by the kingdom that God has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And when all of that's going on inside of you by the work of the Holy Spirit, it's going to show itself in the world outside of you as well. And on the other hand, there are people who don't have any of that. They don't have, all they have is the first birth that we all come into the world with, apart from the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian, you know how terrible that is at the end of the day. And so, what is inside of them also shows itself on the outside too. But whatever the case, we ask why. Why does this happen? Why are some unbelieving and acting in such a way? We want to retaliate sometimes when they mistreat us. We want to return fire for fire. And the Lord says, no, what is what is. And they are like they are. But you also are like you are. And if you want to know what you are, don't look in the mirror. Look at my cross. Look at my life. You're conformed to your Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? It means that believers, like their Lord, are often persecuted for righteousness. What it means is that believers, like their Lord, can anticipate being reviled. What it means is that believers, like their Lord, can anticipate being accused of all manner of false things. It's not fair, but that's what happens. Because the people you deal with can't act in any other way. That's all that's inside of them. But that's not the end of the story. For believers in the Lord Jesus, someone who is a Christian person, you can also, like your Lord, anticipate the glory of heaven. You can also anticipate the joy of heaven. You can also anticipate the unending goodness of being in the light of God's presence forever and forever. And you can anticipate and even say right now in all things, whether you're persecuted or otherwise, whether things are going smoothly or it's bumpy or difficult or in the bottom of the well, you can still say the same thing. Blessed am I. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They are the sons and daughters of God. If that's true, if your sins are forgiven, you're washed clean in Jesus, you can say the very same thing that he said on his cross. You can say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Or like King David, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness, O Lord. And when I awake, I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.